In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We don't get to read from Micah too often in our lectionary, and that's a shame. I like Micah. He was a prophet from the 8th century BC, and his major concern was social justice and ethical matters of his time. This morning, he's warning Israel that they've lost their way. Their priorities have shifted, and not for the better. The religious and political leaders have become corrupt. They've forgotten the requirements of their faith and the God who saved them. So today, through the prophet Micah, God puts Israel on trial for their forgetfulness and ungrateful attitude toward the divine. Micah presents God's case by reminding Israel of God's saving acts on their behalf. He reminds them how God brought them up from the land of Egypt, how God saved them from slavery and death so that they might know the saving acts of God. So why, God asks Israel, have you abandoned me? You can almost feel the pain in that question, can't you? Now, wouldn't you think Israel's response would be to have a contrite heart, to step back and see the error of their ways and ask for forgiveness from the divine? But Israel's response sounds more defensive, or you might even say downright snippy, than contrite. What exactly do you want from me, God? You want me to give you some burnt offerings? Maybe 1,000 rams will do it. Or how about some 10,000 rivers of oil? Will that make you happy? Well, ritual sacrifices did work in the past, but God is no longer interested in ritual sacrifice. But God is interested in them. Specifically, God is interested in changing their hearts. And what the Lord requires now is going to turn their lives upside down, because God is about to invite them to look at their lives and change their ways. What the Lord requires of you, Micah reminds them, is to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice by correcting the inequalities and oppressions in the world. Love kindness by being faithful and loyal to God. Be humble by acknowledging that all life is dependent upon God's grace. Now, you'd think humanity could remember such a thing, wouldn't you? But over time, our priorities shifted, and not for the better. So Jesus reminds us of God's requirements again this morning, giving us the same message, but through the words of the Beatitudes, which means blessings. In our world, most people think that we have been blessed if we have success, wealth, power, position, long life. How often do we all say, God has blessed me in abundance with fill in the blank? But as is always the case with Jesus, the meaning of the Beatitudes is much deeper and requires much more of us than appears on the surface. Here in the Beatitudes, blessings means being in favor with God and living a life that reflects the very heart of God. So the Beatitudes should not be understood as a personality trait, like Johnny's such a humble guy, or Sally is so meek, or Joe has such a good heart. Now, the Beatitudes, just like God's words to Israel, are meant to turn your life upside down and inside out. They are the roadmap to the Christian way of life. They're our guideposts to how to live that blessed life. But in order to do that, first you have to understand what the Beatitudes really mean. Poor in spirit doesn't mean giving special care to the poor. It means we're blessed if we acknowledge our dependency upon God. Mourning doesn't mean offering consolation to someone who's lost a loved one. It means we're blessed if we see the wrongs and suffering of the world and try to do something about it. The meek will inherit the earth. They're not passive people who just let others walk all over them. They're humble people who have been blessed because they put God first in their lives and know that everything they have comes from God. Those who thirst for hunger and righteousness are blessed because they strive to see and do God's will in this world. Those who receive mercy are blessed because they've already received the loving kindness and forgiveness, and they've done likewise to others. The peacemakers are blessed because they work for healing and reconciliation in this already broken world. And the persecuted are blessed because they've suffered hostility and ill treatment for their faith and still hold on to it. This morning, we can begin anew to shift our priorities and our way of life. Only this time we can shift it for the better, going back to the way that God wants us to live. But you need to know one thing. None of this is automatic. None of this can be done by simply flipping a switch. It's hard work, but it's the work that we are called to do as Christians. Because we can't ignore those that are exhausted by hunger, fear, violence, and oppression. Instead, we must work every day to show God's compassion to our brothers and sisters and work to eradicate hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression in this world. We must remember to put God first in our lives and everything else second. We must remember that our sole reliance on God rests with the one who created us and loves us beyond our wildest expectations. That is the mandate of the Beatitudes. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. It may sound simple, but it's really very difficult. Yet in the end, this upside down life will change everything in you and outside of you, especially your heart. Because after all, that is ultimately what God desires of us, to live a life that reflects the very heart of God. Amen.